A reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending you upon what my Father promised. So stay here in the city till you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And there they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. One last praise I forgot to mention during our prayer concerns was I'd like to praise God for the turnout we had yesterday for the Great American Cleanup. Our church had a good crowd show up to help clean up Ripley. So I'm very thankful to all of you that helped out yesterday with the Great American Cleanup. I wanted to mention that while I was still thinking about it. You know, being the big sports fan that I am, one of the interesting things you see sometimes in sports is anytime somebody achieves something, you know, or you see this a lot with players, is they'll you know, thank God for a victory. Or they'll say, you know, God did this so that we could do that. Or God, you know, helped us in this moment. You see that a lot in sports fans. Of course, I can make a joke right now about who God's favorite team is, but I'm not going to go there. As I wink at Marty right now. But I really don't think God cares who wins a ball game. I mean, of all the stuff God has to worry about, of all the things that is on God's plate, of all the things that the Almighty is giving His glorious and almighty mind and attention to, I really don't think today's Ole Miss Alabama baseball game ranks very high on God's to-do list today. That's just my opinion. Now, that being said, as a guy that played football, yes, there were times I turned to God for strength saying, "God, please don't let me make a fool of myself right now." You know, so I do believe God can help individuals perform their best. I do believe that athletes and individuals in whatever profession we're in, we can turn to God in our times of need. We can turn to God to receive strength. We can find strength from on high in times that we did not think we had. So I do think God gives the individual strength. I just don't really think God cares who wins the Egg Bowl. That's just me. But that being said, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can turn to God for strength. Because I've experienced that. I know in times of trial in my life, in times of desperation, in times of need, in times of crisis, in times of sickness, I have turned to God for help, and God has given me strength. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, that many of us call it the Hall of Faith, where the Bible lists all these great saints that have gone before, all the saints of the Old Testament that have been faithful to God in days of old. And I've always liked to bring that forward to our lives, that the Hall of Faith, those faithful saints, aren't just Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but that Hall of Faith includes my grandma, my granny, Blanche Bigner. That Hall of Faith includes deceased pastors like J.G. Babb, who have helped me at times of trial. That Hall of Faith includes all those people who have helped me to become the man, the husband, the father that I am today. And I love how the Scripture, that passage ends, where it says this. It says, "Since we are surrounded by such a mighty cloud of witnesses, let us not grow weary. Let us run the race set before us." Since we are surrounded by all these folks cheering us on. You know, every Sunday, well, most every Sunday, we say the Apostles' Creed. And one of the lines of the Creed is, "We believe in the communion of saints." And that's not talking about the football team in New Orleans, but it's talking about the fact that we believe in this. That the church is more than just those of us living. The church is more than just Ripley First United Methodist Church. The church is more than just the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Church of Christ. The church is all those that believe upon Jesus' name. Whether they be present in this life or whether they have attained the life that is to come. I love that great hymn, "The Church is One Foundation." "And she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one." That we are surrounded in our life by those who have attained that which we desire. That they are as alive as we are, and they're cheering for us. They're yelling for us. They're saying, "You can do it. Don't give up. Don't quit. You can do this. Never give up. Never quit." And yes, today is the day we honor our seniors. The day we recognize those who have achieved this great milestone and who are going forth into college and into life where there are times of great trial to come. I didn't drink coffee until I started college. For you high school graduates, there are many all-nighters yet to come. There are many hours, and please don't do like I did and wait to the very last minute. I always like that adrenaline rush of thinking, "Hey, you know what? If I don't write this paper, I'm going to fail." I need that adrenaline rush sometimes to push me on to get my work done. Don't do that. It's not fun. But as your parents and grandparents can attest to you, all-nighters don't stop when you finish college. There are all-nighters with sick children. There are all-nighters with grieving friends. There are all-nighters with dying relatives. All-nighters do not end in college. In fact, in many ways, the all-nighters you face in college are much easier than the all-nighters you face as adults. So we all need to be reminded that somebody's on our side. Not just our high school graduates and our college graduates, but all of us need that knowledge of knowing there's somebody out there pulling for us, rooting for us, saying, "You can do it. You can do it." Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us not grow weary. Let us run the race set before us. I'm a terrible cook. I can cook a bowl of cereal. I can cook a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And that's about it. And like, Holly's a great cook. And great cooks drive me crazy. Because they just... Like, the few times I've tried to cook, they always say, "Don't put dabs of this and dashes of that. I need detailed instructions because I'm an idiot. And I don't know what a dab or a dash is. We need 2 ounces of this. I need to be able to measure it out. I need detailed instructions. I don't need to just have a vague idea. I'm not particularly intelligent. I need to know what I got to do here. Write me detailed instructions." I'll never forget when we moved to the Coy Church before we moved here. We moved from the Delta to Coy. Holly was 8.5 months pregnant. And she couldn't move with us when we actually moved because she was 8.5 months pregnant. And the doctor said, "You aren't going anywhere." So she stayed with a friend of ours in the Delta. Well, before we got to that point, we went to visit the church and saw the parsonage. And we got a layout for how everything was. And so she literally had drawn diagrams where everything in the house was to go. And she gave me detailed instructions of where everything went. And as we moved in, I told him, "Okay, she wants that there, and she wants that there." So she came to the parsonage with everything pretty much in place because she had detailed instructions. That's the kind of guy I am. I need detailed instructions. In Scripture today, Jesus does something weird. He says this. He gives them detailed instructions. He says, "You are to be my witnesses. You are to go into all the world. First to Jerusalem. Then to all the world. And you are to proclaim the repentance of sins and salvation." You are to go forth and do these things. And He gives them pretty detailed instructions. He says, you need to stay here in town. You need to be witness. You need to be my witness here in town. And then you need to go into all the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere. He gives them very detailed instructions. But then the scripture says something crazy. It says he's sitting there talking to them. They're having a conversation. And he goes up into the air and ascends into heaven. Now there he is giving instructions, telling them what to do. And then he disappears. They're like, no. If you're going to tell us what to do, then you better stay here with us and tell us how to do it. If you're going to give us this tremendous mission of going into all the world and proclaiming salvation, then don't disappear on us. Don't ascend into heaven. Stay here with us. Help us do this. Don't leave us alone. And y'all, I put forth the greatest fear that we face in life sometimes is the fear of being alone. And I'm not talking about in a lonely sense. Because I know people surrounded by people who are lonely. I'm not talking about being alone in terms of lonely. I'm talking about being alone with no support. With no one on your side. With no one there to help you. With no one pulling for you. With no one helping in that task. With no one helping you to move that mountain. With no one helping you when the sea is calm, is stormy. To be a lonely voice in the midst of the crowd is very scary. Without support, it's hard to be that voice. And that's kind of what the disciples must have thought Jesus was doing. He told them, now go do this. And then he left. But here's the thing. It was in his leaving he makes the mission possible. Because two things happened when he ascended. First, he ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And we believe that Jesus Christ is there at the right hand of God the Father right now praying for us. Y'all, you have somebody interceding on your behalf right now. And that's Jesus Christ. We believe that at this exact moment, he's at the right hand of God the Father saying, God help them. God strengthen them. God be with them. That Jesus Christ is right now at the right hand of God the Father pulling for you. You are never alone. You are never abandoned. You are never forgotten. No matter how hard the road, no matter how challenging the task, no matter how alone you may be, no matter how beaten down you may feel, no matter how cast aside life may make you feel, you are not alone. You are not forsaken. You are not forgotten. Jesus Christ is there at the right hand of God the Father saying, Father, they're mine. Father, they're mine. Help them. Strengthen them. Uphold them. Be with them. They are mine. But when he ascended, something else happened. The Holy Spirit was given. And it's not just that God is in heaven on our side, but here on earth, we have his power. His Spirit comes and reminds us of all that he has told us, all he has given us, all that he has shared with us. And with his Spirit, we find more strength than we'll ever need. We find more grace than we'll ever need. We find more power than we ever need. Y'all, left to ourselves, left to our own devices, left to our own strength, we cannot be who God wants us to be. On our own strength, we cannot be the men and the women, the husbands and the fathers, the wives that God wants us to be. By our own strength, we cannot. C.S. Lewis said, "No one knows how very evil they are till they have tried very hard to be good." If you try to make God love you by being a good person, you will fail. You cannot earn God's love. You can't make God love you. You're not good enough. You don't have to. He already does. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're going to do, God simply loves you. No matter what. He ascended and intercedes on our behalf. And He sends forth His Spirit to remind us of all that He has taught us. To remind us that we're not alone. And to remind us that He loves us. To give us strength, to give us power, to give us the ability. So to our graduates, you are going to have some tough days ahead of you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You're going to have times of tough decisions. Holly and I were talking one day riding back from somewhere, and I said, "You know, being an adult's hard. You got to make tough calls sometimes. And sometimes you're not going to know what the right decision is. You're just not. People are going to tell you, oh, you know, in all decisions, you know, there's all, you know, it's a lot, it's, you know, that there's black and white sometimes. Some decisions, it's gray. And you're trying to guess which one's right. You're going to make tough decisions sometimes. You're going to mess up. You're going to fall on your face. As C.S. Lewis says, the danger is not in falling down. The danger is not getting back up. Get up when you fall down. You're going to have tough trials. You're going to make decisions that are going to impact your life from then on out. But you can do it. You can do it. I have full confidence in you because I have full confidence in God. And God has not left you orphaned. God has not left you powerless. God has given you more strength than you know, more power than you know, more grace than you know. God has not forgotten you, nor will He ever forget you. He is on your side. He is pulling for you. He is saying to you now, "You are mine. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." So to our graduates, no matter what the road, God will meet you there. No matter what the decision, God will give you grace. No matter what the failure, God will not abandon you. No matter what the success, God has given it to you. Be not afraid. And to those of us that are still in the school of life, some of you facing hard decisions tomorrow at work, some of you facing families that are frayed, defrazzled, some of you facing the specter of being alone, some of you facing the specter of disappointment, some of us facing the specter of being embarrassed or failing. God is not just with our graduates today. He's with you. He loves you. He's pulling for you. He's on your side. And He will give you the strength that you need for whatever is to come. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. He is with you. Let us pray.